Yes, Lord, we exalt your name, Jesus. You're the reason we live and we breathe and we can walk with hope. Thank you, Jesus, that we come together now. We're not singing to the ceiling. We're not praying to the ceiling, but we are praying directly into your ear, Lord. We're singing directly to you. We bow our knees before you, Jesus, and we declare that you are at the head of this church. You're at the head of our lives. You sit on the throne of our lives, and that you lead us into all righteousness, not by our works or our deeds, but by your Spirit. Is anybody with a picture or word that they feel us for the congregation?
As we were worshiping, I just saw Jesus just coming forth in all his power and glory and majesty, and his robes were dipped in blood, and his eyes were burning like fire. And then he mounted his white horse, and he showed the armies of God us to follow him. And as he was riding forth, his horse was galloping. It was making so much noise. It was like the whole earth was shaking. It was this immense power just going forth. And as Jesus was continuing in his battle and going forth and conquering, all prison doors were just flung open and broken open, and all the powers of darkness just fled. It was just like this. I saw this fire going before him and just destroying the darkness. And the scripture that just came to mind is that he disarmed all the powers and he nailed them, our sins, to the cross, and he led captivity captive.
Amen. So while they're handing out the communion elements, stay in the attitude of worship. And I just felt that as we were busy worshiping, we do this as Jesus says, break bread when we come together, do it as often as you come together in remembrance of him. And just like Isabella is by blood bound together with us, my identity as an Alexander is in her blood, and so her sister and her future brothers and sisters are all bound together by blood. I'm just going to ask that as, just before we have, just in your own words, just thank God that you're in this family, that we're all bound together as brothers and sisters by his blood. And those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. And that we're all bound together. You're not orphans. You're not sitting here alone. And if you do feel alone, speak against it right now. It's a lie, because you're not alone. You're part of the household of faith. Okay? And it doesn't matter how often she feels like she's not with us or she's on a camp somewhere when she's older, she'll always know she's part of a family. It doesn't matter how isolated she is from us in the flesh, she knows she's part of a family. She's always got a home to go to. So just in your own words, before we take up communion, while the ushers are still handing it out, just thank the Lord thank Jesus that you have a family, that you aren't orphans. And then once you've said thank you, I'm going to ask you just to thank God that he's busy broadening our tents, widening our tents with new lives. Stephen and Catherine Agar had their little girl last night, I think. And Johan Studler and Sumin Studler had their little girl last night also. So just, we'll just send a prayer for them also. And just, okay, just thank the Lord that he's adding to this family in different ways. But it's all new life. Yes, Lord, I just want to thank you that we come together as brothers and sisters in your house, at your feet, Father. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus, for your blood that binds us, that resurrects us, Lord, when we are dying, lost in the world. Thank you that your blood has given us access to that heavenly throne, given us access to the most holy of holies, to take us out of a place of striving and works, that we're not working for a response of love, but we're working as a response to love, Lord. And I just want to thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that as we come together as brothers and sisters, we take your blood to remind us of that fact that we're set free from death and from sin, Lord. Let's drink. Lord, and I just want to thank you that your body was broken, that our hearts don't have to be broken, Lord. That you bore the stripes and the shame so that we might not be shamed before your throne, Lord. And that we can approach your throne with confidence, Lord, with boldness, Lord, to receive that mercy which you poured out on the cross. I want to thank you for that, Lord, and thank you that as we do this, that we are reminded that we're bound together through our wholeness in you, Jesus. That we're not trying to find fulfillment in other people, Lord, or trying to find a place to make us feel good and fill those holes. That all the brokenness has been healed by your brokenness, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's eat.
I just want to share that I just sense God is saying to us this morning that have I not created the heavens and the earth? Have I not created all the stars in the universe? And I just believe that we many times come to God out of a place of not understanding his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his love that he has for us. That we must understand that God is holy, but that God's heart is really for us, and that I believe God is saying to us that we must draw near to Him because He wants to draw near to us, and that we must really be expectant to have an encounter with Him, because one encounter with God changed your life. And that we must understand that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He's everywhere. God is sovereign in everything that He does. He's true to whatever He says. And that God is our Father. And we must not think that God is not a God of grace and try and do things to please God. That we can come to the throne room in boldness because of what Jesus has done on the cross. That we can know that we have a Father that loves us. Doesn't matter what we've done wrong, what we've sinned, that when we come before Him with an open heart and just being open to be changed by God and say, God, I've done wrong, but I want to be changed by You, that God will, as far as the east is from the west, forgive all your sins and iniquities and accept you as you are. But He wants us to draw near to Him, and He will draw near to us. It's my privilege this morning to introduce Pastor C.S. LaRue. He is the pastor for Shofar as a movement that looks at missions international and here. And God just placed him in our midst to inspire us. So when he speaks for 2 minutes, I'm inspired. And I can't wait for him to preach this morning, because I really have an open, expectant heart for God to move amongst us, to just come and inspire us from the throne of God. So see us. We honor you this morning, and it's fantastic to have you here. And I see you've got an iPad. He's preaching with an iPad, not note anymore.
Thank you, Theo. Good morning, everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love that smile on your face. You're in church, you can smile. It's great to be here. What a privilege. I know it's holidays, so some of you must still get rid of the spirit of Dubai this morning, but that's all right. But for the rest of the people that are keeping the economy going, thank you very much. But let's pray. Father, this morning I thank you, Lord, that your presence, Lord, is all we want. It's all we need. It's you, Lord. It's not something we can psych ourselves up, Lord. It's not an emotional thing. It's just when your Holy Spirit, Lord, feels welcome in our midst, Lord. And I know that you feel welcome, Lord, and we welcome you, because you've been here long before we've come here, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you draw us near to the Father's heart, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom. And I pray, Lord, that every resistance this morning to your presence will crumble. Every hardness in our hearts, Lord, will break. It will melt like wax before you, God. And Lord, really this morning we bring our nothing to you, because we are nothing and we have nothing to put on the table, Lord, to please you. But Lord, all we know is we can come to you by the blood of Jesus and by the righteousness of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for that freedom that we have, not to be orphans, but to be sons and daughters. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the breath of God. Thank you, Lord, that this morning you want to strengthen some of us here, Lord, that have grown discouraged. Some of us, Lord, that are driven. Some of us that try so hard. And yet, Lord, you are the wind underneath our wings. You are the one that makes us to soar on wings high above the storms, Lord, so that we will run and not grow weary and walk and not faint, Lord, and we'll be able to do what you have called us to do only, Lord, because of your strength. And Lord, this morning we want to stop the flapping of our wings and the trying, Lord, and we want to submit to your work. And we say, Lord, welcome in our relationships, in our family, in our brokenness, in our successes and everything, God. We just say, Lord, you are already, Lord, our desire. You're the only one that can fulfill and please us. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you this morning, Lord, that we are truly here to meet you, Lord, not to meet man or a nice sermon or nice songs. But Lord, because you are here, there's liberty. And we just open ourselves up for that, Lord. Bring a fragrance of Christ so that we can only see you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to sort of jump in to ask a question. And it's a very simple question, but the question is quite a profound one. Are you all out there? Okay, thank you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The question is, it will solve a lot of things if you give the right answer. If you give the wrong answer, you're going to sort of, there's going to be some stuff that's going to challenge you. And maybe years later, we will come to find that thing, you know, that pearl of great price. But the question is simply, what do you really want? Okay. What do you really want? Don't be quick to answer, because sometimes we answer with our heads and we sort of know what is the real answer, what we're supposed to answer. But all of us, as we're sitting here this morning, there's some stuff that makes us happy, some stuff that we think, well, if I have that then, or I do that, then I will be satisfied. Would you agree with me? Some of us may be sitting here this morning and we think, well, you know, if I can just have a husband, then all my problems will be solved. And then all the married people say, no. Okay. And, you know, or somebody say, look, if I can just get out of this financial trouble that I'm in, or if I can just break free from this yoke in my life, or if I can just see this or do that or go there or experience that. You know, we all have these things that we sort of say, if I can have this thing. Or so the question simply is, if you really just sit still and you think about what do you really want in this life? What do you really want? What is the thing that drives you? Because there's always something that makes every one of us sort of, you know, makes your baby jump, you know, that thing that makes you excited. Maybe it's music, maybe it's, you know, that work, maybe it's that golf. You know, golf never does it for me. I just grow closer to Jesus because I want to lose my salvation on the golf course. You know, but it's amazing. There's some stuff, you know, you'll talk to some people and then when you hit that little thing or you talk about that subject, then people begin to get very excited. You know, for some people, it's negative. Some people, you talk about the government or you talk about our president or whatever, and then you get them going, huh? It's like, yeah, you had the knoppie gedruk and there he goes, you know, and 45 minutes later, you just asked an innocent question and that guy is on a pluck. He's going, huh? So we all have these little knoppies, you know, what's that in English? We have these little buttons, you know, that gets us going. But I want to say to you very simply that there's some stuff that will satisfy you. There's some stuff that if you begin to ask for those things, you're going to have a fulfilled life. You know, scripture talks a lot about it. It says that your joy will be full. In this world, we live a lot through happiness, trying to be happy, because we think, you know, and happiness normally comes through a happening. And even in church, we sort of come and then we feel like, I want to be psyched up so that I can feel better, go out there and at least make it through the week. So by Sunday that I feel psyched up, you know, I sort of almost need an injection. And in Matthew 5, verse 6 to 9, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's in the Beatitudes, and it's, you know, it's not the do attitudes, have you realized that? It's the be attitudes, okay? So, some place that you be. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Say this with me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Okay, all of us in this world, you know, when you watch the movies and you do stuff, we've become such a sensual environment and community, you know, the advertisement stuff, the whole consumerism that we live in is, you know, when you watch the TV, you'll see an ad, and the ad is not based on the value of the product anymore. The ad is based on what it will do or make you feel. It will make you feel better if you have this car, or it will make you feel better if you do this thing. So almost in this life, we have a consumer mentality, and we do exactly the same when we come to church. We just put sometimes a little bit of facade on, and then we become religious around God, and because we become consumer Christians. And a couple of weeks ago, the Lord said to me something very tough, and I'm going to share it with you. He said, lots of my people are in prostitution with me because they come quickly into my presence, want to buy something, do something for a little bit of pleasure, and then they run off. They don't want anything to do with me. And that was quite tough. And the Lord said, you're included. It's always good to think about other people and other churches, you know, out there, because we all know about other people that do it. But how many times do we come and we look for a quick miracle, or we look for a quick fix, or we look for a quick this, and then we find that little thing, but we don't engage God. And that's why it says here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because righteousness is that thing that Jesus bought and gave us on the cross, where we can stand before Him in a right relationship before Him, not based on our own works, but because of what Christ has done. But we have this freedom. We have open heavens with God, and you can stand there rightly before God with a confidence all the time. That's why I love the word faithfulness. Faithfulness means full of faith all the time. To be faithful, full of faith all the time. Not just to have a little bit of injections of faith and then, ooh, you know, we have a little story and a testimony and then we write a book about it. Simply where you come into the place where the presence of God, the righteousness of God, you become confident in who you are in Christ. Are you with me this morning? Shake your neighbor and say, he's talking about somebody out there. Okay. And maybe somebody in here. Okay. So we're, everybody's got like a little bit of a frown, but we'll get there. Okay. So I remember being in Iran last year, and one of those moments that really, really changed our lives when we were there was a little lady that came, and she waited for a year and a half to get baptized. Because there, if you get baptized, it's not like a little thing you do. It's your death certificate that you sign. If somebody has found out that you got baptized, you will die. Lots of people flee to other countries, to Afghanistan, to actually get baptized in other countries. And so this lady was waiting for a year and a half to get baptized. And then she heard that we were coming. And in the mornings, we would have these worship sessions with you know, and just would worship sometimes for hours. And this lady did not understand English at all. So what she would do is every day when we would worship, she would just come to sit in there was sort of an open plan, a big living area and a kitchen. And then she would just come to sit next to the stove there, and she would just close her eyes and she'd just sit like this. And as we worshiped, she would begin to cry and she'd begin to weep. And she didn't understand a word that we were singing, but she had such a desire for the presence of God. She was so hungry for the presence of God. And I remember that about 3 days later, she was fasting. It was her 20th day of fasting because she wanted to prepare herself for baptism, to stand in that place, you know, because it was such a privilege to be able to lay her life down for God. But I remember every time when we just worshiped, she would begin to weep, like sob uncontrollably, not because of deliverance or healing or because there's something wrong with her, just because of the privilege of being able to worship in public, to be able to worship with other people like we did this morning. And I remember that was just one of those moments that changed my life completely, because I realized there's so much stuff with God that I take for granted. And then I almost get used to getting used to. Yeah, we sometimes sing this morning and we think, oh, this is the first song, so, oh, let me think, oh. Oh, yes, this guy's really going on. It's like four songs, you know. It's like, oh, shoo. Oh, there's something wrong. Did you see the up there? That little thing, the frillikies is not right there. And that, there's a little thing hanging over there. Shoo, they should clean this place a little bit at the back there, you know. Then we get so distracted so easily because why we get filled with other stuff or we get distracted. And that's why Moses said, I love this. He had such a design. Exodus 33, he said, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. And then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses was probably the one, you know, when he came down from the mountain, his face shone and there was like this, the presence of God was all over him. But he knew what he placed his value on, and that thing which was the most important to him was not miracles, was not the stuff that he threw around and said, ooh, you know, let's prove them wrong and we're right, you know. Too many Christians are going into the world. We want to prove other people wrong. And we know so much what we are against, but we never know what we're standing for. And when you begin to stand for the presence of God, and when you begin to stand for that joy that's full, then something begins to happen in your life. You begin to value the most precious thing, and that's the relationship that you have with God. Then it's not about other things around God, but it's simply about God Himself. Can somebody say amen? That was a good place to say amen. Okay, Psalm 16 verse 11, and I'm just busy with the introduction. The more you say amen, the quicker the sermon is going to be finished. Okay, so you will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David was a big sinner, like most of us, like all of us. You know, any sinners in the house? Okay, thank you, thank you. Okay. He says, you know, in your presence there is fullness of joy, meaning that there can be half measures of joy if there's not fullness, okay? He says, but God, I've realized when I come to you and when I reach out to you, then he says, even at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's like, God, you satisfy me with everything. Nothing else will satisfy me, you know. But if you come and somebody invites you for dinner, and they say they have prepared this dinner for you, the most amazing stuff, you know, steak, you know, no vegetables with it, just steak. Just imagine that. Okay, can somebody agree with me? Okay, that's like the best of the best. Okay, so just steak. But you have this amazing meal that somebody has prepared for you. But before you go there, you decide that you are going to go to KFC or McDonald's. And you and the family, you stuff yourself at KFC. You know, you eat like 3 double burgers. You get one of these big baskets full of chicken and all that stuff. Now some people are going to lose me here because now I'm talking about food and you're maybe hungry. Like everybody's like chirping and quailing here from the side, you know. But imagine you stop there in the drive-thru. Now you come around, you know, and now you pitch up here and these people have put out this massive spread of food for you. And you begin to say, and you sit down and you dish up a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you eat because it's the polite thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And those people think like, is there something, you know, is there something wrong with you? I'll never forget it. Once we were in India and a pastor invited us, but he didn't tell us that he made food for us. So we ate before we went, you know. Yaku Prinsloo is the pastor in London. And so we got there and they had this massive spread. And what they do in India is if you come and visit, the whole family stands around the table. And the visitors sit, and then they dish up for you. So now we're sitting there, and we are stuffed. Eh? We've already eaten this massive breakfast and all that stuff, and now they just dish up. And this lady says, you know, it's the first time that I prayed for demultiplication, you know, for Lord, let this spirit of vanishing of food happen, you know, so that when, as I want to take it to my mouth, it will just vanish, let it evaporize, you know. But I remember I ate that food because obviously now this was like, you know, the poor people, and they really made a big fuss of us, you know. So I said to Yaku, you're going to eat today. You're going to get stuffed. You're going to roll out here, but we're going to do the right thing, you know. So we just ate. But the problem with India is they think it's an insult if your plate is empty. So they just dish up more. And we say, no, no, no. And then we realized, you know, it was the first time that we got there. The more you say, no, 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 it means to them, yes, yes, yes. So they just like, you know, because they also do like this, you know. That means yes. That's not no, you know. So we go like, no, no, no. And they think like, yes, 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 because this means yes, yes, yes in India. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, we say no, no, no. And they just dish up more, you know. And I remember walking out there and I just felt so sick. The point I'm trying to make, it's quite a long point, but the point I'm trying to make, you know, if you are hungry and you fill yourself with other things, then when you come to the presence of God and when you come to what God has, it's almost going to be like, oh, what? Well, because you stuffed yourself with other things. And do you know what? You create your hunger. If you're going to eat junk food, you are going to crave junk food. You determine your hunger, not God. And so what you surround yourself with, and, you know, I'm going to be very honest here, but sometimes, you know, what we do is we spend the whole weekend watching television and then we give God 1 hour and then we think revival is going to break out. Do you know what? It's not going to happen. We can stand on our heads on a Sunday morning, but if you spend the whole week filling yourself with other stuff and now you give God 1 hour and you think like, wow, God, come do some magic. God is not into instant magic. God says, I want everything. And so some of us must switch off that television a little bit. Just go on a fast for a month. See how your life will change if you stop watching the television, you know. Sometimes, and it's not about the bad sins that we do. It's just simply about how do you fill yourself and with what do you fill yourself? What do you surround yourself with? What are you hungry for? You know, we as the human race, we're not good, okay? Would you agree with me? You know, I spoke to a guy this week that is redoing, he's an engineer, and they're reconstructing and doing all this stuff for the Mitchell's Plain, Kailicha, the whole plant there, the sewage systems and all of that stuff. And he says, you know, he just broke down when he spoke to the guy there that maintains this place, because the one pod has been stolen. I think it's 30 million stuff has been stolen in 2 weeks, bricks, everything. But that's not the problem. The drug lords that come and steal everything. He says the problem is the amount of babies that is flushed down that system day after day that just wash out there in the sewage system. And he said he broke down because it's not just an occasional thing, it's every day. That's the society right on our doorstep. We've come to live in a wicked generation. And scripture says that people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. People will be lovers of pleasure. Look around you and see how the world has become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So we opt for the counterfeit. Why? Because as the human race, we tend to want to make stuff easier for ourselves, or we want to take shortcuts where there's no shortcuts. We want to live instantly, and we want to do it our way. Yeah. And so I sort of try to make it into 4 C's for us to remember. But the counterfeit comes in us trying to worship God through a cultural experience. The moment when we think that God can only move through the way we sing, then we're in trouble. It must be Bethel or Hillsongs or Shofar Band or whatever. If we think that our culture determines the presence of God, we're in trouble. I remember years ago there was this student that came to me and he listened to grunge music. Do you know grunge music? It was like, and it said, no, there's Christian grunge bands. You know, and I was thinking like, so now I thought like, I'm going to try to look at this thing because I can't believe that you can have music like that. You know, so it sounds like terrible, you know. So now I'll never forget it. He gave me the words, you know, he gave me the CD cover and I looked at the words and then I listened to the song and I could not fit the song with the words. The words with the song. I didn't know what song it was because like, and I thought like, this is from the devil, yeah. This can't be from God. And then we did this trance party and they played this music. And then this one guy came, you know, that Sunday, I'll never forget it. He came walking up to us and he said, he was from Europe. And he said, you know, when he was young, he read in this little black book. He read a chapter in this little black book that he found when he was young. It talked about a man called Jesus. He's never since heard of this man again. This is now a guy from Europe that came here to this trance party. He says, he's never again heard of this man called Jesus. But every time when he walked past our stall, because we didn't have crosses or the name Jesus on the stall, he said every time when he walked past, he was reminded of this Jesus man that he read about 14 years before, 15 years before. So he walked into our stall that Sunday morning and he said to us, I don't know why, but when I heard the music, now the music, these thoughts popped into my head. I just wanted to come in here and ask you, do you know this Jesus that I read about? Because every time I walk past going to the trance party and dragging myself out, I just wanted to check because something said to me that his presence is here. Now they obviously talk like his karma is here. You know, that's what the guy said. So I thought, look, okay, that at least is a good start. But I was so amazed by the fact that people are drawn to the presence of God and sometimes not in the way that we think. But the moment when we embrace a cultural Christianity that God must move like this, God is actually an Afrikaner, then we're in trouble. Or God is a black person. He was probably brown, did you know that? Kurt. Yes, yes. Just go for it, Kurt. Yeah? Just because of the skin color of the people in those areas of the sun and stuff. Yeah, so I think lots of people are going to be shocked when they get to heaven and they realize that Jesus wasn't white. Yeah. But see, the moment when we bring God down into our cultural experience and we say, God, you're only allowed to move here, then we're in trouble. Then we put a limitation on the presence of God. But we also have like charismatic culture. Do you know what? Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And you ask the person, but your life is falling apart. Oh, but I'm blessed. Can't you see, brother? I'm blessed. And I'm thinking like, hey, just be real. Just say that there's something wrong. just, you know, don't over-spiritualize everything. But we tiptoe through the tulips because Jesus loves me so much. And there's never, I'm not allowed to suffer because it's always a flowery experience with Jesus, yeah? Jesus said, you're going to suffer. You're part of this world, you know? But then we pretend as if there's nothing going wrong, you know? I remember this one day, praying for this guy. He was busy smoking. And so what he did is, as I'm just saying, can I pray for you? Now, let's pretend that this sweetie is the cigarette. So he's standing like this. And when he saw me, he went like this. So I came up to him, because you know, Christians are not allowed to smoke. You know, and then he did this amazing thing. He took the cigarette and he put it in his pocket. Yeah? Right here, the top pocket. I don't have a top pocket, but he was putting it here. So I'm saying to him, there's a hole being burnt in your pocket. He says to me, no. I say, can I help you? Can I take it out? Because you're losing your shit. Now the smoke is coming up here. You know? There's a hole being burnt through the pocket on the outside. And he denies flat out. You know, I say, don't worry. I'm not going to condemn you, you know, for smoking. Just take the cigarette out because it's an expensive shirt, you know. He says to me, no. He turns around and he walks away. I am so shocked out of my system. I'm thinking like, hey, you know, just like, don't lose your shirt, you know. Comfort. Ooh, we like to be comfortable, you know. I went to listen to this guy, Todd White. Some of you may have heard, just completely out of the box. But he said something that really profound, challenged me a lot. He said, so many Christians today, in charismatic Christians, are in such a comfort zone that they don't need a comforter. Why would the Holy Spirit's name be a comforter? Because if you're going to follow God, you're going to be out of your comfort zone and you're going to need somebody to comfort you a lot. To tell you that you're all right, that you're going to make it when you follow God. But we opt for the other comforter, our own comfort, where we feel safe and we feel protected and we can do stuff and tell God when He can move. Oh, conformity, where we conform to the things of this world. But God says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then complacency, where we've lost an urgency for that hunger because we've fooled ourselves. But I want to ask you, how urgent is the call of God on your life? Are you willing to die for it? Because it will come at a cost. It will come at a price. Nothing in the kingdom of God is cheap. There are lots of things that are free when you walk on the journey. His grace enables us to do God's will. His grace is not a ticket to sin. See, then we make grace cheap. But you know what grace is for? Is when you can't and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and He enables you to do what God has called you to do. It enables you to live a holy life. It enables you to say no to the things of the world and follow God. That's what the grace of God is for. But it's not cheap. When you make it, and I make it as if this is a ticket for me to continue sinning, like lots of Christians are saying today, do you know what? We're in trouble. We've just made the grace of God cheap. Complacency. We love to think that because I'm better than the other Christian around the corner, I'm okay. But we're not. You will only be okay when you do the will of God. Listen to this scripture. It's quite a challenging scripture because it's written to a church in Revelations. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, meaning I'm full. I'm all right. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. You see, we become blind, and God says, come and buy from me, and you don't have money to buy. I want you to come and exchange. I want you to bring your nothing. But the only qualification for that buying is simply it's a hunger for the things of God and for the will of God. It's a desire to know Him. It's a desire to say, yes, God, I want more of you, less of me. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus in John chapter 4. You know, Jesus is not sentimental. I'm going to say something quite challenging to us because it challenged me a lot a couple of weeks ago when God said to me, I am not sentimental about using you. Because if you say no to the call of God, to my call on your life, I will raise up somebody else to do it. That doesn't mean that God is not going to take you to heaven. He's going to take me to heaven. He's going to give you a blessed life. He's going to do all that stuff. But so many people opt out for just having a nice and a happy life as a Christian. But they don't say yes to the calling. And that's why scripture says, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. It actually literally means few make a choice to that calling. How desperate are you to fulfill the will of God and the calling of God on your life? Will you say no to all the other stuff and say, God, I want to do your will. I don't just want to be a happy Christian and say I'm charismatic because I got baptized some time ago and I could speak a little bit in tongues. You know, most Christians are not living a spirit-filled life, and I'm including myself there. We say we're spirit-filled, but we're not. We say we're all right, we're okay, but we're not. That's what that scripture says. And so when God says, come to me, come and exchange, come and bring, come and live a spirit-filled life. Do you know what a spirit-filled life looks like? It scripture says that when we come together, everybody has a song. Everybody has a word. Everybody. It's not like, ooh, the weird one coming in front and maybe, oh, has somebody got a word and then one person has a word. Everybody has a song. Everybody has a hymn. Everybody. It says in Ephesians 5 verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he defines what that filling with the Holy Spirit means. It says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and always making melody in your heart to the Lord. You give thanks to God. Talks about a joy that is full. People that are overflowing with the life of God, with the generation, regeneration of the Holy Spirit inside of us, and will sometimes even look like we're drunk. But we've come to a place where we overflow, because that's what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, streams of living waters, fountains will spring up from your innermost being. Have you seen a fountain spring up? It's not like a little trickle. It's like, everybody's thirsty, they come to drink. Are people drinking from your life every day? Are they coming and running to you because they see, wow, I see something. You have something that I don't have. I want that. Or are we just Christians that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit a while back and we've become so used to doing little things for God? Hello, it's getting very quiet in here. But listen to Jesus in John chapter 4. Okay, I'm finished with the introduction. Now we're going to start with the sermon. Okay, are you ready? They've just closed the doors. Nobody are allowed to go out. Okay. John 4 verse 32. But he said to them, this is now when the disciples went away, they bought food and Jesus came and he ministered to the woman at the well. Probably the most profound story of Jesus interacting with somebody across the cultural lines, across the gender lines. The most profound thing of how he reached this woman in such a way that she went away and she left a water pot there. She ran to the city and she said, look, there's a man that told me all things that I've ever done. And he just had like 3 sentences conversation. Imagine you have a conversation with somebody and that person runs off and say, look here, I met somebody that told me everything about me that I've ever done. Because that moment in Jesus' presence just conformed and transformed her. Changed her life so radically that the whole city came out because they realized, this woman, we know this woman, she's been sleeping around and she's been doing all this other stuff, but something in her changed so radically that we must go and see ourselves. And scripture says the whole city came out to see. Said, look, yo, you've got these nice words, but we want to see. This something has changed so much in this woman that we want to go and see. And other disciples come back and they want to bring Jesus food and listen to this. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I want you to think about what a profound statement this is. My food, like you and I eat food every day and we get nourished. We get filled by eating. We are satisfied. If we have a decent meal and a nice meal in front of us, we walk on after we've eaten that malfa pudding and that custard and we think like, whoa, this has been amazing. You know, we like food. How many of you like food? Okay, come on, all of us, you know. But when you're finished, you say, I'm finished. You say like, whoa, this is cool. Jesus said to do the will of his Father gives him a spiritual, emotional, and even a physical satisfaction that nothing in this world can do, and that is to do his will and to finish his work. to be able to stand in that place where we say to the Holy Spirit, God, thank you for your life. Thank you, God. I want to do your will. I want to do your will. You know, but if I would have a show of hands in this place and I would ask people, what is the will of God for your life? Probably 60% of people sitting in this room would just say, I don't know. I don't know. But I want to challenge you. Are you going to say the same thing 10 years from now? No, I just went through this life by chance. Because you need to find out what it is. And it's not going to come cheaply to you. Some of you are going to need to find and pay a price to hear what God's will is for your life. It starts in the natural, the day by day obedience to what the Holy Spirit says to you. For some of us, it's just to become the best doctor in South Africa. For some of us, it's just to clean the toilets. So it's not about being on a platform and having great success. It's about significance. But what is God's will for your life? You know, I remember with Mother Teresa reading about her life, and they said, the story is told, and I think it's in a book about her life, that a businessman came walking past her, a guy from America, a multimillionaire, and he was standing there next to her. And she was busy because one of the things that she did is she would prepare people for their death. She said, look here, she's going to dignify people when they die in India, in Calcutta. And so there were many people around her, and she was holding one man. She was sitting, and this guy was sort of lying on her lap, and she was just praying over him, and she was just sitting with this man while he was busy dying. And this businessman walked past, and he turned around, and he said to the guy next to him, do you know what? I won't do that for $1 million. I won't do that. And then she heard what he said. He obviously didn't intend that she was going to hear. And so she turned up, she just looked up at him, and she said, neither will I. Neither will I. And that doesn't mean that all of us must fly to Calcutta and bury the dead. But there's some stuff you must do. And some stuff God has called you to do, Baron, that these people next to you, these the vet clan, they can't do. There's some people that you're going to meet that I will never be able to meet. There's some people who you must bring the presence of God to them because they'll never come to church here on a Sunday morning. You have to take the presence of God to them. You have to become Jesus for them. You must become the Word made flesh. But you know, John G. Lake said it, why do we, when we take an orange and we squash the orange, orange juice come out. But why the moment when we squash most Christians, everything else except Christ comes out? Because maybe we're playing a religious game. If you get squashed in this life, are you different than the guy sitting in the office next to you? Does Christ come out and you can worship Him despite your circumstances, despite the problems, despite the fears of going to lose your job, despite the stuff that comes and accuses you in the middle of the night, you can stand up and say, I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. You know, I don't work for this boss. I work for Jesus. He gave me this job, so I'm not going to panic because He's in control. Or do we live lives where we control? So where do we start? Very simply, the challenge, James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. It's as simple as that. There's no ticket out of this one. Seek God. Make time for Him. And you know, there's a lie in many Christians' lives because do you know what we do is we plan for our weekends away months in advance. We plan for our holidays. If you would ask the average guy sitting in this place, have you started to think about your holiday in December already? I promise you, most people would have thought about that. Now we're going to go there, we're going to do that, we're going to save a little bit for that. Now, how can we do that in our natural life, but we cannot plan for the things of God? We don't work around God's schedule, we work around our schedule. But we've become so busy and so distracted. And so our challenge is just simply is learn to draw near to God every day. Come to Him. Give Him the best of your time. Learn to serve Him. Draw near to Him. And the promise is He will draw near to you. You will find His will. But don't make it a 2-minute cheapy and say, yes, God, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. That doesn't mean we must stop working, I mean. Doesn't mean like stop studying because now suddenly we become spiritual, you know. It's just simply a place in your heart of being consecrated to the working of the Holy Spirit. A place where you yield it to Him. A place where we open to Him. And there's some of us in this place. The Lord showed me that you have become tired of seeking him. And this is what he showed me. He says, some of us here, we're driven, meaning that we love to set goals and we love to plan. And there's nothing wrong with that. Good accountants do that, hey, Bern. Would you agree? Okay. It's nice to plan. It's nice. Stewardship is great. But when we set our goals and we have not first aligned our lives with God's will, then we are going to get discouraged. And even around the things of God. And there's some of us in this room that are discouraged this morning because you've put out your faith and then what happens is it doesn't work out in the way that you have planned it or that I've planned it. And now we're discouraged. Now we blame God and we say, oh God, I'm not going to try anymore. Why? Because we get discouraged if we have promises that are not fulfilled or expectations and it's not fulfilled. And especially around the things of God. You know, I spoke to a guy this week that said he prayed for these people to get healed and then the girl died. And now his faith is shattered. Now, do you know there's nothing wrong with that? You have to work through stuff like that because sometimes I pray for people and they get worse after I've prayed for them. And then I think like, okay. And then sometimes they get healed. But it's never going to stop me from praying for the sick because that's what Jesus said I must do. So where's the problem? Not with him, it's with me. I must align my life more so that the presence of God can flow through me more. And sometimes it's the environment. We live in an unbelieving environment because people want to first run to the doctor, you know. And then when they're on the way to the doctor, they pray and say, oh, Jesus, please help the doctor to save me. Nothing wrong with the doctor. Just first pray to God and say, God, I come to Dr. Jesus today, you know. So the challenge is when we get discouraged, that's the moments when we're nothing and we have nothing to give and our prayers have not been answered and we stand before God and we say, okay, God, I want to talk to you about this calling thing. Do you know, for most people in Scripture, it took a long time before God really used them. Paul, from when he was falling down from his horse on Damascus Road, was around about 16 years before he got to Jerusalem. We think it was this quick thing, you know, just come and anoint me and I'll go preach. 16 years. Do you know, David was 14 years from when he was anointed as king until he became king. Joseph, Abraham, Peter. You can mention every name in the Bible. There was nothing instant about the call of God and the will of God for your life. You're going to need to pay a price for that. But you know it will fulfill you. Last night, a guy walked up to me. His dad died. First, his dad walked out on his mom. And they're a beautiful Christian family. And when he was, I think it was when he was 12 years old, his dad walked out on him. 4 years later, his dad died. He stood there. We had a wedding and he stood there and he said to me, do you know what? Why do people divorce? Yeah. Why do so many of his family members now 25 years of marriage and now they divorce? And I said to them, do you know what? I think there's only one reason. It's not because they stopped falling in love or anything. It's just simply because their marriage never had a purpose. They never saw the purpose of why they are married. That there's something bigger why they're together. It's to glorify God. And so the kids get out of the house and then they've got nothing to live for anymore because they've never embraced the call of God on their lives together. They've settled for happiness. Will you stand with me this morning as we're going to finish? And I'm just challenging myself a little bit this morning. Thank you for all your amens. Thank you for your quietness. It means that you're listening and I'm trusting that there's some bit of conviction because this morning we're going to pray for people that are just doing the same old, same old. What's your name? Yeah. Komiso. Cornel Constanisa. You know, when I was Cornel's age, smile, Cornel. I say, check me out. Yeah, I talk to him. Why can I smile? When I was his age, a teacher walked up to me at school and said to me, "I'm going to show you who Jesus is." And I went to church every day. Of you know, I was a churchgoer and all that stuff. And because of that guy's testimony, when I was in grade, what's God is now? God elf. Okay, sure, that's cool, eh? When I was in grade 9, I committed my life to Christ. And somebody took the time to come and show me who Jesus was, but he was full of the presence of God. He was not a hypocrite. And because of that guy's testimony, you know, I'm thinking of when I meet Mr. Smith again, because I haven't seen him for 24 years. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's already with Jesus. I don't know. But when I'm going to see him, I'm going to buy him the biggest present that I can. Because he went out of his comfort zone to minister to me and to a group of other guys that are still running for God, many of them. And so people ask me sometimes, why do you love young people and spend time with young people? Because I say, do you know what? I can just do what somebody else has done for me. Because I can see somebody saw the potential in me. And that guy, whenever we went, you know, gemakkelijk is it, man? Okay, cool. When that guy took me on weekends with, you know, he'd always come with his friends and they'd take my hand and say, look here, this is us. He's going to be in the full-time ministry one day. I didn't even know what the full-time ministry meant. I was thinking like, what is this guy talking about? But you know, he went out of his way and he, on the 4th of April, 1989, this past Friday, that was 25 years ago, I knelt down and I committed my life to Christ. And today, you know, it was all Jesus, but there was somebody that was willing to go out of his comfort zones. Some of you moms here that have little babies, you think like, oh, how am I going to get through this season? How am I going to do that, all that stuff? Stop thinking like that. You're raising up the next generation. Is it not gemakkelijk, sir? Okay, thank you that you smile. Do you know that you've got a big calling on your life? Huh? Do you know that God wants to speak to you in dreams and visions? And He wants to show lots of stuff to you. And He's already started. Okay? Maar moet nie worry wat die mense om jou dink. Is Afrikaans, nee? Okay, cool, yeah. Don't worry about what the people think around you. There's some people that are praying for you and they're irritating you sometimes, but just let them keep on praying for you, okay? Okay. All that you did, they said, Lord, I want more of you. I want to know because you're like a Daniel, okay? Gelees van Daniel, okay? Jy gaan sien hoe die leeu's monde toegemaak word. Because you saw God's plans and you're going to proclaim that and other people are going to just think like, oh, you know, too much. Moet nooit vir die Here sê te veel nie, okay? Sê Here te min, ek soek meer, ek is honger vir jy, is dit reg? En ek gaan vir jou bid. Vader, dankie. I thank you, Lord, for this man. And I thank you for them. That you want to open up heavens over him. And you want to release your calling over him, Father. And I want to thank you, God, for his heart. And I pray for a protection of his heart in this time, Lord. Especially, Lord, that there will be no people in relationships, Lord, and even at school and places like that, Lord, that will come to try to define him and try to tell him what he cannot do. But today we say yes, Lord, to your purpose and to your will on his life. And I thank you, Father, that he's like a gentle warrior, Lord, and that you're teaching him how to use the sword of the Spirit, Lord. And thank you, Father, for dreams, and thank you for visions, thank you for visitations, thank you for your life over him. And I thank you, Father, that truly, Lord, you're saying to him, Lord, that he doesn't need to worry. He doesn't need to be afraid because you are with him. And you will guide him, Lord. And you'll show him things to come, Lord. Sometimes he's not going to understand, but the Lord says, write it down, for it's for an appointed time. Many times, even 20 years, 30 years later, it will come to pass. But the Lord says he's given you a great ability of humility. Walk in that. You don't need to shout. Most of the things that God does is not with a lot of noise. It's in the secret place. As you prayed in, as you see it, as you establish it. Father, and I thank you for a protection of his heart. And Lord, that he will fly like an eagle high above the storm. In Jesus' name. Amen. What is your name? Sean. Don't worry, okay? God has got your future in his hands, okay? Don't worry. You need to make some decisions and stuff. There's lots of stuff and decisions on the road ahead, and you've sort of been asking God, God, what is your will? God, where to? It's almost like you've been going through a bumpy ride, you know? I just saw like a car driving, and there was lots of some, you know, speed bumps, like you're going over them. And the Lord says, don't worry. He's taking you. Just remain focusing on him. He's, especially those questions. You've got lots of questions. Lord, what about my future? And there's lots of voices and even a spirit of confusion that wants to come in, that wants to tell you, no, no, God is not in control. He's not. And even people around you sometimes are saying, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? All that type of stuff. But it's connected with your future. God says he's got your future in his hands. You're just like Jeremiah. He's formed you in your mother's womb and he knows you. And you never need to be like an orphan. You're not an orphan. Okay? In the house of God. You're a son of God. And you follow him. Okay? And you say yes. And he's going to especially show his father's heart to you in this time. Okay? Where you don't need to doubt. And especially in worship, just put on the worship music and just fall on your face and just say, God, even when I feel nothing, and you're going to feel the presence of God just come in. And he's going to show you things to come. It's a tough time for you, but you just hang in there, okay? He's got an anchor for you. His name is Jesus. Throw out that anchor when the ship wants to go like this. It's an anchor for the soul, okay? And the Holy Spirit is going to help you. Are you ready for that? Okay. There's some people that are discouraged here this morning. And I want to pray for those people, but I'm going to ask you to be bold. You've put out your faith. You're already focused. You're goal-orientated. But something inside of you has grown numb. It's almost like the picture I get is like you drank that coffee or that tea and you burnt your tongue. And now it's like there's another cup of coffee in front of you or a cup of tea. But you sort of think like, how am I going to taste this again? Because I've lost my taste buds. But God is saying, pick up the cup. He's going to restore your taste buds, your desire for Him. But you've grown discouraged and you think like, I don't really want it. But if that's you, I want you to step out from where you are and I want you to come and join me in front here because we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray that God will reestablish your taste buds for Him. That and give you and encourage you. And I know you can be a pastor or I don't care who you are, but this is about you coming back to your first love. And then there's also some people here, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with Him, I want you to step out and I want you to come and meet me right here. Or maybe you've backslidden and you've thought like, yeah, I'm going to continue with my world, or I've grown up in a Christian church. And there is somebody like that. You've grown up in a Christian church and you really think you're a Christian. But I'm going to ask you one question. What has God been telling you? Do you know His voice? Because that's the defining thing about being a Christian. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say, my sheep goes to church. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And that will mean that you go to church, but not because you try to be a Christian by going to church. That's just the outflowing of fellowship and relationship that you already have with God. So if God is speaking to you, one of those two groups, I want you to quickly step out. I want you to come and join me in front. And I know it's going to be a bit tough for you, but humility is the only way. Is when you just say to God, okay, God, I'm going to do it your terms, your way, not my way. I want you to come and join me in front and we're going to just pray a prayer. We're not going to try to do an instant thing. We're going to just be honest with God. And we're going to say to Him, and this is the time when some people turn around and they say, ooh, let's see who goes to the front. You're the person that must be in front if you're thinking that. So quickly. I'm going to wait a while. Thank you for your boldness. But there's some more people that must come. The Lord shall be there. Many people, yes. So I'm just going to wait till you become obedient. And then we can finish the service because it's actually only starting. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You that You draw men to You. We can't do that. Not through fear or through pressure or through manipulation. But only, Lord, Your Spirit draws us to a greater hunger and a greater desire for You. And Father, some of our knees have grown weak and some of our feet are full of blisters and full of thorns. And today, God, You want us to be able to finish the race. Lord, there's a lady here that's afraid of dying. She's afraid of dying, Lord, and You want to break the curse of death over her. And thank You today, Lord, that we can say, death, where is your sting? Fear of death, there is no place for you. I want you to come quickly. If God is speaking to you today, I sense there's some more people and you're resisting a little bit, but that's fine. But I want you to come. Thank You, God, for that freedom. Thank You for a freedom to worship You today. Thank You for a freedom, a hunger, and a desire to be filled by God and by Your presence. And that's what we pray for today, Lord, just the freedom, a freedom. Hallelujah, God, we thank You, God. Today we want to come and buy with money that we don't have. Lord, break every complacency, every comfort zone, every hypocrisy, God, we repent of that. We repent, Lord, of being a generation that wants instant stuff and we want to be comfortable, God. And then we'll follow You. You said, come follow Me and then You'll make us. And today we say yes again to following You and yes to the call of God, the burden of God on our lives. To not just live for You, but to die for You. And thank You for that freedom today. I just sense there's some more people here. You've got distracted and the Lord wants you to say yes to His call. And it's tough because He's given you promises. And those promises did not come to pass. And now you think like, oh no, I'm not good enough or I'm not spiritual enough. If that's you, we want to pray for you today. Because God's promises are always yes and amen. He never goes back on His promises. He will fulfill it over your life. And He wants to use you. Can we just sing a chorus? Because I'm not going to let you go. There's some people here that has got words that God has given you. And you're not contending for that words. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, you must wage warfare with the scriptures that has been given you, the words that I've spoken over your life. It's a tool to come against the devil, but the devil is coming all over you because you're not using the word of God, what God has promised in your life, that healing that He's promised. And you need to come and say to God again, God, yes, I want to wage warfare. with the words that has been spoken over my life. I am not going to settle for second best when your promises are there. So we're going to just sing a song. And if God is speaking to you, won't you come? Hallelujah. There's some people here that are struggling to sleep at night. There's a special lady here that last week, Thursday, you had a couple of dreams and something came to suffocate you in the way that you couldn't breathe physically. And the Lord wants to set you free. If you're struggling with insomnia and you cannot sleep, you had specific dreams and stuff that's coming to harass you, I want you to come out. I want you to come and stand here. We're going to anoint you. There's also a guy here that is in your left shoulder. He and your sleutel been is al baie pain. Toe ek hier ingestap het, het ek so massive pain hier op my sleutel been gekry. I don't know where you are, but we want to pray for you for healing. Won't you come quickly? Just quickly come. And you're struggling to sleep? I want you to come so that we can anoint you. And we can break that stuff over your life. And we're going to say no. So that you can sleep properly like a baby tonight. And will you take the oil curtain? Just quickly come. If you're struggling to sleep, and especially that guy with the shoulder problem, this little being stuff, then we're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We release your healing. Thank you, Father. There's also somebody with gout in your foot. I don't know if both your feet, but one foot specifically. And we want to pray for you for healing. And anybody else, if you're sick in your body, you know, Jesus came to destroy sickness. He doesn't want you to go through pain. I want you to come to the front so that we can pray for you. And because he's still the same. He's never changed. Amen. So if you want healing, why don't you come quickly? We're going to be with you guys and ladies now. You just worship God where you're standing. So don't wait. We're not no spectators here today. But if you're sick in your body, there's somebody here who is struggling with migraines, intense migraines. It normally starts at the back of your head and it goes right to the front. Where are you? I want to pray for you. It's a lady specifically. Where is that? Is that you? Why don't you come quickly? It always starts here at the back and then it goes right to the front. And we're going to pray. Father, we just release your healing over these bodies in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your life, Lord. No more heart palpitations. No more stuff, Lord. No. We just release your healing over every physical body here in Jesus' name, Lord. We command sickness to go. Command those migraines to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for life. Life in our blood veins, Lord. Or life, Lord, into this head. No more migraines. We command every spirit of infirmity to go, Lord, and especially the anxiety that comes with it. Lord, and the stresses and the stuff, Lord, the burdens, Lord, that the devil wants to place on her, Lord, we just say, let her go in Jesus' name. Thank you for a freedom, Lord, in their bodies. Thank you for a freedom in their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for their life. Thank you, Father, for their life, Father. And we just come to command sickness to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. There's also people with back problems. We want to pray for you in your lower back and going up. If you've got back problems, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray for you as we just worship God. So won't those people quickly come? I just want to pray with you ladies. And I just want to say that God loves you so much. Okay, you don't need to try to do more. Don't try to do more. It's just simply about a place of surrender. Now I'm going to let us pray a prayer together. Is that all right? You just close your eyes and you just say, God, because you know God doesn't do a panel beating job. God doesn't come and now tries to put on a new panel and say, okay, let's try to fix this little thing. Whenever we come to God, that's what Jesus does. He makes everything new. It's like you come to him for the first time again. And then he gives you a new heart, a new life, a new relationship, a new zeal for him. And he will do that because that's why you're in front. You said, Lord, I'm drawing near to you. And now I haven't got a clue how to go on. But that's fine. That's all God wants. Okay? He wants your heart. He's not interested in what we do and the rules and the stuff. So I want us all to just to pray a prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Anointed One. And this morning, I come to you with a broken heart, a broken spirit, and I'm discouraged because I've tried too many times in my own strength. But today I give you my strength. I give you my lack of strength. I've lost the confidence. But Lord, I thank you that your blood makes me righteous. I plead your blood on the doorpost of my heart, of my relationships, of my family. And today I receive your righteousness, not my righteousness, because it's like filthy rags, filthy garments. But I thank you today that you put a wedding dress on me without spot, without wrinkle, blameless. And I pray, Lord, that you give me a new heart and that you will renew my conscience, that I will be blameless. I want to see, Lord, anoint my eyes with your anointing, to see my children, to see the relationships around me in the way that you see them. Thank you, God, for your strength. Thank you for your refuge. Today I stand under the shadow of the Almighty. I thank you for your shadow over me, your protection, your provision. But Lord, I commit myself. Let your will be done. I'm here, Lord, not to give up, but to finish the race. And I ask for your grace to enable me to finish what you have started. Lord, I say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. Take me, Lord, and let me fly like an eagle. I thank you. I commit my early hours to you. I commit my dreams to you. I say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Speak to me again, Lord. Thank you. As I yoke with you, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Hallelujah. I mean, you just talk to God just for a couple of moments right where you're standing. There's some promises that you must take back to God, and you must remind God of those promises. He's not going to remind you, because you must remind him, because we forget. Say, Lord, thank you that you spoke this over my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm weary, Lord, but I thank you that you said that you will strengthen me. There's one last group of people that I want to pray for. I want to pray for everybody that's still here under the age of 18 years. Okay? If you're a young person here, I want to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. And then, also, if you feel that you have got a calling to the full-time ministry on your life, meaning that you want to maybe teach or preach or become an apostle or prophet or evangelist one day, there's a full-time calling on your life. I want you to go and stand there with where Kurt is, because we're going to anoint you as well. And we're going to just ask God to get the timing right in your life and that he will release you. All those guys and girls still under the age of 18 that are here, I want you to come and stand here, because you're the next generation. And we're going to pray that God will use you and that he will show himself to you. Okay. And if you feel you've got a full-time calling on your life, and maybe you're not sure what that means, everybody's in the full-time, but especially for the fivefold ministry, then I want you to come and stand here, because we're gonna just pray for you. We're gonna lay our hands on you. Where all those kids? Come boys, come girls. Okay. I want some parents to come and stand here with us as we're gonna pray for these kids.
Yes, Father, I just wanna thank you for your love which you poured on us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that, Jesus, by your blood we can walk in freedom. And thank you for the word that was brought this morning, that Holy Spirit, that you are leading us and you're preparing your body to be effective witnesses in the world again, Lord. Once again, just like on the day of Pentecost, that we can be effective as we surrender to you, Holy Spirit. I pray that each and every one of us have been touched by what you did this morning, Lord, will not just allow it to pass away, but it will be an impartation that we ourselves run with, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray for each and every brother and sister that's in here as we leave this morning, that we'll not go back to slumbering, Lord, that we'll stay awake and stay focused on the upward call that is in you, Christ Jesus. I just pray for your blessing on every believer here this morning. And may they understand that they are comforted by the Comforter when they are stepping outside of their comfort zone, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.